Parshas Truma is an exciting parsha in the sense that once we start learning about the Mishkan and the Kelim, we really get a handle on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now that sentence was supposed to have a shock value. What's Mishkan got to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? It tells you what the Oren looked like, what the Menorah looked like. Where did Yetzias Mitzrayim come into that? But of course we have to go back to the Ramban in his Hakdamah to Shemois, so where he explains that Sefer Shemois is the Sefer of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what are these last parshias in the Shemois all about? They deal with the Mishkan, because that is the point at which Yetzias Mitzrayim becomes complete. Because they're not Nechshav Geulem. The Taka got out of Mitzrayim, and the sea split, and they got their water, and they conquered Amalek, and all the things that they had to do. But they were still not Geulem. When are they Geulem? When they were Shovu Lema'alas Avosam, Shoho Yesod Eloah Ale Oholehem. Yiddish Tzura needs that there should be Hashroas Hashchina among us. That is what a Jewish Yishuv looks like. That's the Malas Avosam, Shoho Yesod Eloah Ale Oholehem. The Chazal by Rivka, that when Rivka came, Kilo Soro came back, because when Soro was alive, there was the Onan Kosher al Ha'oel, with the Ne'er and with the Brocha Metzuyu Be'isop, but there was a Hashroas Hashchina on the Oel, and that had gone away once Soro had died. So now that Yitzchak got Rivka, so Soro Imma, now the oil was against Soro Imma. So the optaj, the definition of what the Jewish Yishuv looks like, has its paradigm in the way the Ovais lived. That's the Malas Avoisam. And what was the optaj of the Malas Avoisam? Shoho Yosoid Eloya Ale Oholehem. So now when they build the Mishkan, now it's Soid Eloya Ale Oholehem. Not in a family sense, but in a communal sense, in a national sense. So therefore, the Shechina, which ultimately was to come to rest in the Mishkan, was going to be the equivalent of the Onan, which was kosher on the oil of the Ovos, and now they are Geulim. So in a very real sense, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim peaks in Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pikudeh. That is where the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim peaks, because now Yidden are the way they're supposed to be. That's what I already said. It occurred to me when I was thinking about this, that this dogma, this Mishkan in the midst of the Shrotim of Klal Yisrael, the Machane, Shechina, the Machane, Leviyah, the Machane, Yisrael, like it's a melodic, a structured kind of society that really, I think that we can be machev the Dibur about that a little bit. Maybe we should leave that till next week. There's so much Mishkan now in the next few weeks. It's difficult to be mismakeid the whole time onto the side of the Mishkan, but it's such a meirde gezach. But I think that the Mishkan in the midst of the Machanois of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar is the parallel of the Neshama in the individual Guf. Elokai Neshama Shenosata B'Tahorohi. We have within ourselves a piece of Tara, a piece of Kedusha. The Ator Nefachta be, the Rebbeinu Shem blows it from within himself, kaviyochol, into us. So it seems to me that the personality of the individual changes. Kol zman sh'anshama b'kir be, moide ani lefonecha. The neshama within me helps me to praise you, Rebbeinu Shem. I think that is the title of noide over here. Because there's the Gemara says in Brochus, Gemara says that it says five times in Tehillim, Bochi Nafshi. So Keneged me, so Gemara says, Keneged the Neshama and Keneged the Rebbeinu Shlalom, because the Neshama, Bochi Nafshi es Hashem, the Neshama has five similarities with the Rebbeinu Shleilem. Just like the Rebbeinu, one of them is killed. The Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Toher, so the Neshama is Toher. So weist euch that in order to say a Shira, to really celebrate the Rebbeinu Shleilem Kaviyachal, for that you need to have similar characteristics to the Rebbeinu Shleilem. You have to be, he's Mole Kala Olam, and the Neshama is Mole Kala Guf. He's Zon the Olam, and the Neshama is Zon the Guf. And he is Toya, and the Neshama is Toya, and so on. You know, it's to be really, to say a Shia to the Rebbeinu Shleilem, you need to be godlike. So that's what we say maybe in the morning also. Elokai, Neshama Shnosata Bi, Tehoirohi. These are all interesting lashonos, but that's not what we're talking about now. But kol zman shanshama bekevi moide ane lefanecha. Once the neshama is in me, I can praise you, I can sing your shvachim, I can sing shiros to you. Because once the neshama is in me, so I've got in me those teviyochel attributes, which are attributes concerning the Rebbeinu Shleilem. So now I'm in a position, just like David HaMelech was able to say, Baruch Hi Nafshes Hashem. So I can also say, Kol Zman Shanshama Bekirbi, Moide Ani Lefonecha. I am able to sing Te'ilu Shira. Doesn't mean necessarily that I have to compose a Shira, but it means that my life, my existence, can be a Shira to the Rebbeinu Shleilem, since I have within me this Neshama Tehoira, Tehoira in the sense that the Rebbeinu Shleilem also is Toher. These are all big things, I imagine. Just being ma'ir a little bit, what's going on over here? Because really, what I was trying to think about today and to touch on in the Shir today is a different aspect. And that is that with the establishment of the Mishkan in our midst, that really created a tzura, like we said before, of the way, what is a yishuv of Klal Yisrael supposed to live like? That is the way it looks. It was in a mini kind of way. On the Ovos, so you said Eloya Alei Ohaleihem, and now with the Mishkan in our midst, it's the tzura of the whole of Klal Yisrael. So that brings to mind an issue which is really in halacha a very important issue, and it's a sort of one of those issues that straddles halacha and hanhogas and hashkofa. It's a difficult inyan. It occurred to me that, let's say that we were in we can imagine a family in Chvezin, Shevet, God, Chvezin, doesn't make a difference. So they're living someplace quite far away from the Mishkan. The whole machanas weren't that big, so they're living there. So now they've decided, Yankel has a birthday, and we're going to make a barbecue. And they want to eat some meat. They have some animals, they took them out of Mitzrayim, so they want to shecht an animal, and they'll make a barbecue to cover the birthday. So a problem arises, because Bosa Taiva was also in the Midbar. They were not allowed to shecht an animal stamazoi to eat the meat. You wanted to eat meat, you had to bring it to the Mishkan and bring an shlomim. No, yeah, the Rishonim say that when they went into Eretz Yisrael, that changed because it was in the Midbar, it was possible because the distances were relatively benign. It wasn't so tough to bring a sheep from the outskirts of the Machane Yisrael to the Mishkan. I don't remember the exact how many amas there were, but it wasn't out of this world. But if you're living up somewhere in the Golan and you have to, every time you want to eat a piece of meat, you have to go to Yerushalayim and bring a korban, that wasn't shayach, so Bosa Taiva became mutter. But in the middle of Bosa Taiva was also, so they had to bring a korban. That's in a way, it's a Moir de Gezach. It's a beautiful thing that even the everyday physical undertakings which people take, they sit down, you have lunch, you have breakfast, you eat. So in the Midbar, the whole tzibur lived on such a mishonadik goyse madregum that even the ordinary eating, talking about when they eat meat, so that was sort of nislabish in the levush of kedusha. That's a mayor de gezach in a way. So you feel really good. But who doesn't feel so good, maybe? Yankel's mother. She won't be able to take part in the barbecue, because it's a shlomim, and maybe she's not the Torah. Yeah, the women have times during the month when they're not Torah and they can't eat kachem. So what kind of fun is it going to be by the birthday party if the mother's not going to be able to eat, is not going to be able to take part, not even allowed to touch the food? So dad is going to have to do the barbecuing. What I mean is, you have times when the communal identity and the individual identity clash, that there are needs in the community which point in one direction. For example, living such a life of Kedusha that the opportunity is defined by the Mishkan in their midst. So that defines the community. And that's a Magadik Zach. And everybody Zicha had a Mishunadik Aliyah from that. And I'm sure nobody ever talked Lashon Hara. Like, you're living mamish with the Shechina as a tangible presence in your midst. There's no sofek in the world that is a terrific mila for the tzibur. But at the same time, it can cause agnas nefesh on an individual basis, that what is good for the tzibur is not always good for the yochid. Or at least it may be good in an absolute sense, but it's certainly not comfortable, it's certainly not what that yochid might have wanted. And that brings us to the issue of the occasional clashes between the needs of a tzibur and the needs of a yochid. Rosh Yeshivas and Mashgichim and Yeshivas, they often have to make judgments in these issues. I remember when I was involved in that kind of decision making here in the Yeshiva, so it was very, very difficult. The worst time of the year was always when summer started approaching. So then there was the eternal shaila, when is this man going to be over? And then you always have 500 guys coming along and saying, the camp is starting 2 weeks earlier, and if I go to camp, my whole summer will be taken care of, and there'll be learning, and there'll be chinuch, and there'll be, simayudik in the welt, and one of the people who's going to be living in the camp is a big Adam Godel, and he promised to learn with me if I'm in the camp. I want to go, but if I don't go at the beginning of the camp, I can't get a counselor's job, so I should go early. So some kind of hapless Rosh Yeshiva or hapless Mashgiach is going to sit down with the guy and say, look, you know, I can see that it's very, very important for you, and I'm not in any way minimizing the importance. On the other hand, you know, if you start going, so Yankel will also go, and he'll also go, and he'll also go, and he'll also go, and before you know it, the whole Zman will have sort of fizzled out 3 weeks before it should really have fizzled out. So the Rabbim requires that you are mevata on your personal need, and for the tzorach of the tzibur, by staying over here and being mevata on this opportunity of going to camp, so you're going to be mezake the whole tzibur. Is that the right thing to say, or is that the wrong thing to say? What is the issue when needs of the yochid and needs of the tzibur clash? What exactly? There are halachas involved, and there's a way of looking at life that is involved. When does the one trump the other? The truth is that in a little sense, this is also like we were started off by touching up that Truma is the point of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where Yitzias Mitzrayim, where they were Nechshav Geulim because they were Sholu Lamayla Avaisam, and gave an example of where this Meshunadika Maila for the Tzibur can clash and cause Agmas Nefesh by the Yochid. What are some of the issues that are involved there? This is such a complex sugya. We're not going to hope to say in the course of another 20 minutes should be able to touch off exactly what's going on over here. I mean, they're very, very, I mean, what do I know about it anyway? But they're big, big yesoides in halacha and tshuvas, tut sich ab, meurige Sachen. Just wanted to point out that really, that is a sugya in the first posuk over here in in Truma, weil da war Shem und Moshe immer, da wird Bnei Yisrael, ve yikru li Truma, mei eis kol ish asher yidvenu libay, tikru es Trumasi. So, you have this strange lotion over here, ve yikru li Truma, they shall take from me Truma, from whom, mei eis kol ish asher yidvenu libay, tikru es Trumasi. Now, who is that they? Again, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, talk to the Bnei Yisrael, the Yikuli, and they, that means I guess the Bnei Yisrael, should take from me, the Bnei Yisrael should take from me, Truma, Me'ez Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libay, for any generous person who wants to give, they should take it from him. So who are these Bnei Yisrael who are going to be taking things from generous people? Like, who are the takers? So, the interesting is that the Sefona takes sort of the bull by the horn, and he tightens it up. He says, "Davel bnei Yisrael v'yikol li truma, emoy Yisrael shechofatzti shegaboim yikvu ba'adi truma." It's talking about the gaboim. That means that the bnei Yisrael are supposed to appoint gaboim. The bnei Yisrael are supposed to appoint people whose job it is to knock on the doors of all the tents and come and make money for the Mishkan. And it says Asher Yidvenu Libay, so they weren't supposed to exert pressure, I guess, but they were gaboim. So the v'yikru means they. Who's the they? The Bnei Yisrael. What does it mean? The whole Bnei Yisrael? No, the Bnei Yisrael has shluchim, it appoints people, and their job is to become the gaboim for the Beis Hamikdash. They are the people who go around to make money, like people go around to make money for yeshivas. So they went around in the machanas to get together the materials that would be needed for the Mishkan. That's the way the Sefona learns, and I think that really, in many ways, that's a beautiful Pshuta Shel Mikra. Because every year, I remember, what you learn as youngsters sticks in your mind. I've heard all kinds of shiurim, but why does it say Vayikru instead of Vayitnu? And so there's this husband, we'll come in a moment to one of the husbands, very interesting. But the Sefona makes it very, very easy. It's the Bnei Yisrael as represented by the Gaboim, whom they are going to appoint. So those Gaboim are going to come around and collect the stuff from the people Asher Yidvenu Libay. Now, Ibn Ezra has a very interesting point over here, which is very nageya to the issue which we have touched on just now. So Ibn Ezra says like this, V'yikru li truma. So he says an important klal. He says, Milas lekicha im lamed kumo nesina. Lekicha, to take, with the preposition lamed, V'yikru li, really means nesina, giving. V'chein, and he brings a pasuk, kechili ma'at mayim. Somebody asked her, please, kechili ma'at mayim, give me a little water. Now what did he didn't say, tenili ma'at mayim. He said, kechili. So that shows that kicho with li is the equivalent of nesina. And the Ramban, and the Ibn Ezra says, and you shouldn't be surprised at that, it shouldn't surprise you to say that a word can be given the exact opposite of its normal meaning, depending on the preposition that you use. That if you say kechi li, it means give, although kicho is the opposite of giving. So he says, don't be surprised. Halo tire kimilas sor, sur, yes, samach resh, to turn away from. Im achareo el besholosh nukudos yehepech sur kosher im mem acharav. Sur meisham, misham means turn away from there. Sur lesham means go there. Same thing. So the preposition changes sur from meaning leaving to coming. So just like sur, by the appropriate preposition, can change from turning away to coming, so kicho, with the appropriate preposition, can turn from taking, kicho me, to giving, kicho le. So what's taka the pshat? What's going on over here? Like, why does the lamed and the mem, or why do the lamed and the mem have such potency that they can change a verb to mean the exact opposite of what it would normally mean? So the answer is poshut. The pshat is that what is coming to me means turning away from whatever you were Isaac in before. You're sitting at home, and I call you up and I say, would you mind coming over? There's something important I have to discuss with you, and I can't get away from home. Maybe you would come over to me. So what am I asking you to do? I'm telling you to, what are you doing at home? Ms. Dama, either you're helping your wife, or you're learning, or whatever it is that you're doing. What I'm telling you is, do me a favor, leave that aside, and come over to me. So when I say, sor li, what I'm saying is, turn aside from where you are in order to come to me. And that's the same thing over here. Tikhu li. Yeah, so Rabbanu Shon, Klal Yisrael, is being told, yeah, you should take for me, meaning you should take it away from that person who is really tied to that thing. It's his, and he wants to keep it. So now, tikhu li, take it away from him and give it to me. In other words, the v'yikhu li truma, the Ibn Ezra is not learning like the Sephirna that it talks about gaboim. It's not talking about gaboim. Whom is it talking about? By who is supposed to take the stuff from whom? The answer is, it's the same person. V'yikhu li truma means, let your communal instinct allow you to take the stuff away from the individual in you who wants to keep it. That's the pshat. Just like sur means go away from what you're doing at home in order to come to me, over here it means take it away from the person whose stuff it really is, and who is that? You. But it's you as an individual, and I want you within your communal identity to take it away from the you in an individual. In other words, what's happening over here is, if there's out there, there's a smart mashgiach who has to deal with bochum who want to leave early before this man is over, and you're trying to convince them that that's not what they should be doing because the tzibur needs that they should stay around, so you should show them this pasha. The yikhu li over here, apparently what the Rabbeinu Shalom is saying is that in this particular case, the needs of the tzibur as expressed with the Mishkan in their midst trump your rotzon that you should want to keep the gold and the silver that you have at home that you took from Mitzrayim, wherever it came from. Yeah, but v'yikhu li, take it away from you to give it to the community, meaning let your communal identity trump your individual needs. Just like in the Mishkan, the people who were tomei were not able to eat meat during the period of their tumma because Bosa Taiva was also in the Midbar, so they had to give up something. So these are Misholem where the Yochid is called upon to give up certain things for the Tzibur. That's a Moir de Gezach. Now, the truth is that these issues are really not issues of what do I think and what does my instinct tells me. I want to read to you a little bit of the Chazon Ish. He has such a beautiful moshul of this in the Emunah B'Tochen, right at the beginning of Perek Beis. And that's such an important thing that we need to absorb, because we as people, I don't know, I can't really generalize. I'm sure that many people are not that way, but I know that I belong to that group of people who tend to approach shilas like this on an instinctive level. My intuitive sense tells me this or that ought to be the truth. And the truth is, what the Chazon Ish says over here is, keep away from instinct, please. intuition is not the way to solve potentially halachic issues. Let's just read these couple of paragraphs, because I'm giving up a little bit of some of the other mesholim and issues which I wanted to touch on in the Pasha, but this is so important. Let's read it together. The Chazon Ish says, Chovos hamusriyos heimo lefa'omim guf echad em piskei halacha. Yeah, we use intuition. Where do we use intuition? We use intuition, especially by musadika things. That's a menschliche thing to do. I think you should do that. You know, that's a really, really, you know, you've got to be a mensch. I'm using my instinct. I'm using my intuition. The Chazon Ish says that is wrong, 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 wrong. The correct musadika hanhoga is very frequently determined by non-musadika issues, but by halachadika issues. Chovos hamusriyos heimo lefa'omim guf echad im piskei halacha. V'ahalacha hi ha-machraz esa osav esa muta shel toiras ha-musa. Don't come along and say, I did this because I felt that this is the right, the yoshadika thing to do under these circumstances. And the Chazon Ish is saying, my good friend, this was not something which is totally on what you feel. The halacha has something to say on this. It gives a moshel. Ketzad. Omru bo v'basru chof alepes, de b'melamde tenoikas ein taina shel posakto l'chiyusi. If I'm a barber in a certain community, and another barber wants to move in and open a barber shop, I can stop him and I can say, posakto l'chiyusi. This is my panosa, you're going to cut into my panosa, and I must ask you not to come in. Yeah, so that's the din by a barber, but by melamde tenoikas, by a rebbe, by yeshiva, there's no din of pasakte chiyusi. So he gives us moshel. Hare sheyesh be'ir melamdem mispanasim me'amelam. They're good rebbes in town, and they earn a little income from the gifshiurim, and it's beautiful. Ulepisaim ba'u melamdem acherim me'ir acheres. A group of melamdim sort of come in, crash in from a different city, and what happens? Uketeva b'nei odam, and the way it is, the nature of people, einam seveim rotzen mehayishenas. People are never satisfied with the old stuff. Kofzu kulam al ha'ochem achadoshem. They all jumped to go to the new school. Umelamde u'yon izoiku. These new guys came in with computers, and they came in with this, and they came in with that. And this old Rebbe over here has been teaching the, your grandfather and your father and you. Yeah? Nobody came to him anymore. Everybody likes the new more than the old. What happened? Hamukuchochem poshtu. The rabbis who were harmed, they started hating these newcomers. And they go around saying all kinds of bad things about, man, this guy's a teacher, he doesn't know how to teach. And they talk Lashon Hara about them. They make a committee to deal with the ugliness and the evil of these people who came in. Sagt der heilige Chazon Ish, Hinei kol ma'aseihem hoyu menukim mikol chet ve'ovein. They would have been totally innocent in talking Lashon Hara and in making machloikas just to drive these guys out. They would have been absolutely right. Lu hoyso ha'alocha k'moysam, shi'yicholim la'akev alachadoshim. If the halocha would have been that just like a barber can stop a new barber coming in, a melamed tenoikos can stop a new melamed tenoikos coming in, then Lashon Hara becomes muta and machloikos becomes muta, everything becomes muta. V'achadoshim hoyu ha'choytim b'nafshoysam, limrois neged ha'alocha, shenemro l'moysha rabbeinu b'sinai. Ein kann isse macht Leute, listen to this. Velo isse loshnora, velo isse naschinam, ve yesh kan mecheles mitzvah, lehamid adas al tilo, there's a mecheles mitzvah to drive these horrors out of town. Aval achshav shahalocha hichriya, the kina soifim tabe chachma. But now that the halacha has said it's good to have two chadorim in town, because kina soifim tabe chachma, I'm not paskling any halachas over here. There are other issues which are involved, but the general halacha is like this. V'yisoid hazeh nale mechiyusot anoshim protim. And listen to this. And this yisoid, that kina soifim tabe chachma, is more significant, is more important than the income of individual people. So the newcomers, they did kalocha, and the people who are getting up against them are murderers. So you see that over here, a Baal Musa who didn't know the halacha would have said, we have to get rid of these incomers. They're terrible people. Here's this Rebbe who's been loved and honest in his work and übergegeben for so many years, and these guys are coming and putting him out of business. But that's not what you're supposed to do. The halacha says otherwise. And later on, the Chazanish says this, Meir de Gezach. Hoy ki Yisak mikre dadoke bemosse lefon of Yisborach hat zileni me reutfei ki omzu mimene o min ha-shomayim baskol ta'anehu hoy kol oise maase zimri o mevakshem schrake pinchas haloi atahu horoidev haloi atahu she'en cho noise ponim la teura haloi kosafti beteurosi de mikre dadoke loy motzo makev. Very stark, the Chazanish writes over here. So you see that over here, for example, in this particular case, the halacha, which has to govern our intuitive religious reactions to the story, was machria that the tzoyrach of the rabbim, which is expressed in the klal that kina soifim tabe chachma, in this particular case, trumps the individual needs of the melamed tinokas. Not because he's not a good melamed, not because he's a nishken oisgearbeiter mensch, he's a wonderful person, he's a sweet person, he's a good person, everybody loves him, everybody sends him schlachmanas, it's keni sein besser. But there's a communal need that trumps, and bimela, the whole halacha structure changes. Now, just like the halacha over here is machria letoivas the klal, that the klal of kinasoy from tabel chokma trumps the needs of the yochid, there are many other cases in halacha where apparently there are other cheshbainas. We've really run out of time. And it's not really shaykh to go on with this. But just to give you a moshel, in the Peskim there's a whole big shayla and the halachas about this. Let's say that when they used to buy seats in the shul, so an Oshe bought a number of seats for his brothers and for his children. So there's a little family nook in the shul belonging to this Oshe. And now the committee of the shul, the president, and what it is, they decided they're going to put in more seats all over the place because more people will come to daven, and the income of the shul is going to get a benefit from more members. And the Osher comes along and says, no way, I'm not masking. Yeah, I bought these seats when there was a nice lot of room to walk to them, and you're going to put in a whole bunch of new benches, so I'm going to have to go a longer way around them. I don't want to have a longer way to walk around in order to get to my seats. So certain situations the yochid can win. So he's ruining the whole shul that he's doing them out. Please, I'm not asking any halachas over here. Just telling you the kinds of issues that are dealt with in the halacha. And I think that it's very, very interesting that over here, mamish, we have in this v'yikro elecho trumah, the way that Ibn Ezra touches it up, mamish, this issue, the issue that there can be clashes between individual needs and communal needs, and that all of us have both individual personalities from whom the gold has to be taken, and communal personalities who have to take from that individual person and see to it that the communal needs are filled, that they represent over here these two kinds of halachic units. And the hachor, of course, has to be, we have to learn to try and find out what the halacha is in each individual case and what conditions can influence the halacha. But this is very, very interesting. As we get to this muvakdika tzoyre chatzibah, that there should be a mishkan within Klal Yisrael, the issues of the yochid also arise, although of course here the halacha is machia in a certain direction.